Welcome to the earnings call of the first quarter of 2025 of Pay Asset Management. My name is Natalia, and I'll be your operator today. Attendees are currently in silent mode and may submit questions using the web platform on your phones. Questions will be answered at the end of the session. Good morning, and welcome to the earnings call of Pay, covering the first quarter of 2025. My name is Daniel Torres, Director of Investor Relations and Capital Markets of Pay Asset Management, and today I'm joined by Jairo Corrales, our CEO, and Andrés Esquivel, the Commercial Manager of our vehicle. Today, we will analyze four items on the agenda of this earnings call. First, the developments made in the strategy we've made during this first quarter. Second, a summary of the commercial, operational, real estate, and financial management. Third, an analysis of the performance of the capital markets. And fourth, our usual Q&A session. So now then, let's give the floor to our CEO, Jairo Morales. Daniel, good morning, and thank you. Good morning to all of our esteemed investors. Today, we have the chance to share with you the results of the first quarter of 2025, a year that featured a complex setting, but with good results. Let's begin highlighting the most relevant points. First, related to the development of the strategy, let's talk about the management of the real estate portfolio. Firstly, we'd like to share with you that we ended the stage of designs and structuring of Torre Calle 90, and a building that, as you know well, was included in the portfolio from the beginning of Pay in about 2007, when the building was more than 20 years old. But it had an excellent tenant and contract. The contract went through normally, but with this time, the building did require an intervention, and after making analysis with the tenant, we reached the conclusion was not to make a shy revamp, but to make a powerful redevelopment. So we will build a new building that's going to have the tenant as an anchor, but we will have new commercial areas, new office areas, and restaurants. We're ending the design stage, and now we're obtaining the permits to begin the construction in the second half of this year. Another item that has to do with the real estate portfolio is closing the structuring of the new phase of the factory Centro Logístico and the corporate area of Industrias A in Barranquilla. This is a tenant that we're supporting in Pay since 6 years now, and it has been expanding and growing very interestingly. Today, most of its sales are exported with very good results, and we've assisted this growth both on the plant with its and its distribution center. So we ended a new expansion with them that will allow them to have 8,000 square meters in addition. It's also important to tell you, and today we cannot stop mentioning names, but there are significant developments in our smart strategy of disinvestment. Here we've made advances with an asset of the commercial category, with an eventual strategic partner would acquire a major share of one of our assets. We're evaluating this rigorously, and we hope to give you good news in the next 3 months. With regards to the commercial and operational management, it's important to say that, as you know, Pay has a big commitment to sustainability and has set ambitious goals to reduce energy or power consumption to impact the least way possible the environment. That's why we set an indicator on reducing our power consumption. During the first quarter of 2025, we reduced 88% of power consumption. In addition, and with one of our most relevant stakeholders, like the tenants, during the first quarter, we had a major development to implement the mix-up. Remember that this is the name that we've given to the model of relationships with tenants. And there, we managed to have a measurement of more than 350 tenants that correspond to more than 50% of the revenue that the vehicle receives. Through this program, the purpose to get to know well the tenants, to understand what we are doing assertively and what we need to improve, and to provide them a better service and understand if there are opportunities in different categories to those that we are renting to them. Lastly, with regards to the commercial and operational management, it's worth mentioning that we began the intervention of 50 assets of our RIM White Cables plan. This is not a special plan, but it corresponds to a decision and legitimate conviction to maintain all of the assets in the best status possible without them being obsolescent. And this led us during the first quarter to have an investment above 20 billion pesos. As a third front, I'd like to mention in the financial and capital markets management, three items. First, we are currently closing the documents related to the 12th issuance of certificates that has to do with the 12th emission of certificates or stocks that we're structuring, and ahead that we'll be sharing with you the conditions. Let's remember that this is a major milestone and that Pay has made 11 issuance in the 18 years it has been in operation. Remember that this way we leverage our role as recurring issuers and that the resources will be used to prepay financial debt. And a second item related to the financial and capital markets management is that for last year, we can proudly say that we were the first vehicle included in a local index. It's called MSCI CallCap. And in this opportunity, we have the good news that something similar happened with a regional index. It's called NUAM. And we have a share of 0.61. This opens the road so that not on a short term, but more in the medium and long term, we can have issuances that were regional serving the markets of Chile and Peru. Lastly, there's a topic that's very relevant. As you've known, we have a policy since the vehicle was launched of having a rating of one-third. And in this case, Standard & Poor's, which rates the shares which give the maximum AAA and also the bonds AA+. And the efficiency of the management of portfolio of Pay of asset management was also AAA. And this shows the benefit of the vehicle. It's a message of trust. And it's a third qualified that issues these ratings. Now I'd like to share with you several overall figures of the portfolio and compare them with 2024 figures. As to the size of the vehicle at the end of the first quarter of 2024, the AUMs reached the figure of 9.8 trillion pesos. As we've said, we've been for the past 2 years not making acquisitions as a result of a complex setting with high interest rates and a condition that we introduced in the investors assembly held in December 2023, in which we committed as a real estate manager to not have a new financial debt until we reached a level above 1.7. This condition has been met in the first quarter of this year, and the vehicle is again enabled to make these types of operations, obviously with the prudence needed and with the knowledge that if the rates haven't dropped to the levels that we had before the situation. It's important to say that the debt level of this vehicle is considered healthy. Today, it's at 3.24 trillion pesos with an amount close to 33%. Pay set the goal for some years to expand the investors' base, and this is reflected to the fact that today we have more than 6,300 institutional, family offices, individuals, and corporations. And very important also, as we've mentioned during 2024, we've capitalized the revenue of international investors. The portfolio pay, which has 10 trillion pesos and represents more than a million of square meters, gives us a big challenge, which is to sell the spaces. So Pay Today manages about 1,500 lease contracts. And it's a very relevant number, obviously. That's why our initiative in the introduction of MEXA to have an experience model with them. And the idea is to have, after looking at expenses, to give distributable yields to our investors. In the operational results, as I said, we have 1,150,000 square meters. The physical vacancy had a slight increase at 5.9, up 50 basic points. And the economic vacancy was at 7.12, with a small decrease of 2 basic points. It's important to say that as a result of the commercial management that Andres Esquivel will be providing more details ahead, we renovated close to 22,500 square meters. The contracts that were terminated and renovated in time is between 1 to 5 years. It's important to say that there was a placement of more than 2,300 square meters of new spaces, and that the percentage to retain contracts reached 98%. These results are very important and always show the capability and strength of the vehicle to create stability in its cash flow. If we didn't have this capability to renew contracts with such a high percentage, we would have more volatility. So that's why we always highlight, and we've always involved in all of our reports, this indicator of contract renovation. As far as the financial results during the first quarter that Daniel Torres will talk about ahead, I'd like to mention the most relevant. Firstly, we could say that during this first quarter, we reached revenue for more than 2 billion pesos. I'm talking 205 billion pesos. And this represents an increase of more than 7.5%. And it's very relevant to say that it's above in inflation and it obeys to the organic growth of the portfolio because there was no inclusion of new square meters. So it's a very positive result and shows the strength of pay to create cash flow. The second relevant item is the net operating revenue. There we reached a figure close to 175 billion up in this compared to the period before, immediately before, of 8%, and the amounts are in Ray. We have the highest, which is close to 85% in its real estate business, with very good margins and a figure close to 85, with an increase of 37 basic points compared to the same period the year before. With regards to the EBITDA, when we discount the expenses of the vehicle's management, we reach figures close to 150 billion, up 8%, while the EBITDA margin also had an increase of 8 basic points at a sum close to 73%. Lastly, let's talk about the distributable yield. First, I'd like to mention the accounts receivable, which is an indicator of pay, has had very healthy during its history, and this quarter there's no exception. We have a net accounts receivable close to 5 trillion, which represents 0.7% of the revenue of the last 12 months. With regards to the distributable cash flow, there's very good news precisely next week. Yeah, next week, right? Yes, sir. Today, we are giving our investors the distributed yields for about 550 billion pesos. And this sum is very relevant, and we'd like to remind you what happened 1 and 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we were at the lowest levels of distributable yields, and quarterly, our delivery of resources to investors barely was above 10 billion pesos. But today, we're talking about 55 billion pesos, which allows us to exceed 1,000 pesos per certificate. No, 1,285 pesos, which we think it's a very powerful sum and will sustain during the year. So at the end of the year, we can talk about our distributable cash flow, which surely will be above 5,000 pesos per share. So It's a very relevant result. We always say that both contributions to the contributions of investors has to do with the capability of generating cash flow, and second, the performance of the share in the secondary market. And this depends on many factors, but obviously we manage this so it has better results, and we wish the market and conditions allow to show good performance of the share. So this way, we wanted to introduce this with the most relevant parts of the vehicle during the first quarter. So now let's look at details of the commercial business and the financial results. And let's give the floor to Andres Esquivel to talk about the results of the commercial and operational management. Thank you so much, Heido. Good morning, esteemed investors. Now we'll give you a summary of the most aspects of the commercial management of PACE portfolio. On the upper left graph, you can see the performance of physical vacancy, which increased 38 basic points compared to the end of 2024. This is mainly due to the categories commercial and corporate, in which ahead we will give you more details. Likewise, economic vacancy, which you can see on the top right-hand graph, shows a variation of 64 points, basic points, also compared to the end of last year. It's important to highlight two things here. First is that through an analysis and a very rigorous revision, we made an adjustment of the a profitable area of the portfolio, especially in the category of logistics, which led us to increase 16,500 square meters in the profitable area. And there we have an illusion effect, especially in this category, showing that we moved in the last quarter of 2024 from a physical vacancy of 0.91% to 0.89% for the first quarter of 2025. And with regards to economic vacancy, it's important to mention that the change of year leads to adjust potential revenue, especially in the vacant spaces and the expectations that correspond to the variable revenue. So that adjustment, or better, that increase of the economic vacancy of 64 basis points, not all is material, but it's, again, an effect because of the change of the calendar year and obviously the adjustments of the budget. A very relevant aspect is seen on the lower left graph, and it has to do with category diversification. Remember, one of the biggest attributes of PACE portfolio, it's a diversification by city or geographic location. The economic sector, and in this case, one of the most relevant, which is by category. And this allows us to mitigate or atomize the natural risk that we have in the real estate market, which is a bit, and it's also important to say that 40% focuses on shopping centers, followed by 34% in corporate assets, and close to 16% in logistics category. Lastly, we closed the diversification with a 5.8% for specialized assets and 3% for commercial facilities. That's why how we have the diversification of our assets at the end of the first quarter. As Heido mentioned already in the items of retention, we retained during the first quarter of the year more than 22,600 square meters. That is 98% of the contracts that matured in the first quarter. In addition, we placed 2,380 square meters. And in this case, this number represents the share that PAY has over these assets, which allows us to have, as we said before, several variations, marginal variations, when it comes to physical and economic vacancy indicators. Looking in detail at the corporate category, on the left top graph, you can see the development of physical and economic vacancies, as well as the performance of the trend in the market. In this case, physical vacancy had an adjustment of 116 basic points compared to what was seen at the end of the year before. Those 116 basic points are represented in 3,200 square meters, where we find 1,000 square meters in the WPP building in Bogota, 1,200 square meters in the Amadeus building, also in Bogota, and 1,000 square meters in the QBB building on Septima with 74, also in Bogota. And what's important here, that within the commercial management and proactively, we have been working in the pre-notices and the terminations of these contracts, and because of the closure of the report, we cannot see the execution or materialization of these transactions, where for the QE building, we made the absorption not only of the 1,000 square meters, which ended during the first quarter, but also we occupied a floor of 1,000 square meters with a major company of the financial sector, highlighting that in this case, QE right now has no vacancy whatsoever. And with regards to the 1,200 square meters of Amadeus, we also proactively handled the termination of this contract, which was placed to Seguros del Estado, who already occupied the second floor of this building. And this, along with what Heido mentioned early about the temporary relocation while we redeveloped the Calle 90. So this building only has a vacancy of 500 square meters. In short, the indicator of physical vacancy for the corporate portfolio is currently at 12.4%, displaying a variation of 4% compared to the vacancy indicator of offices in the city of Bogota. Let's move on to the prospection of our clients. Today we have 34 prospectives for an area above 64,000 square meters. This number represents 1.6 times the vacancy that we have currently in the corporate portfolio, which is close to 40,000 square meters. It's also important to underscore that the Amadeus building ended the works for Seguros del Estado on the second floor with an area of 1,270 square meters. Now, moving on to the next slide, we see the category commercial, in which we can see the performance of the physical vacancy and economic vacancy, or better, the physical vacancy showed a marginal variation, mainly focused on the termination of the contract of one of our anchors at the Nuestro Monteria Shopping Center for an area of 2,000 square meters. While we were looking for efficiencies, precisely, and wanted to create more commercial offers, or better, a better complement of that commercial mix, we relocated 1,000 of those square meters. So that's why we have a variation absolutely marginal compared to physical. When it comes to the economic vacancy, and as we said early, because of the change of the year and the adjustment of expectations, especially in the variable component, we can see that growth of the economic vacancy. However, this is an effect that, as you can see also in the first quarter of 2024, is seen. And throughout the year, we will see stabilization. And here it's important to highlight that even with these adjustments, that we want to make more rigorous and demanding, the average of vacancies remains as in the market. In the graphic on the graph, the right-hand side, you can see the performance of quarterly sales and total traffics of the 14 shopping centers that we own in the portfolio. When it comes especially to the quarterly sales, we had a growth of 8.10% from an average of 653 to 706,000 pesos per square meters. We have this sales generation in the different shopping centers. Something important to mention here is the national average of growth of these sales is about 3%. That is that the assets of pay show a very robust performance and more resilience with regards to the growth of this indicator. At the right-hand side, you see that the performance of total traffic moves from 67 points or 2 million people to 68.3 with a growth of 1.56. And it's important to mention that the national trend is dropping at an average of 1% in the entire category of shopping centers. On the next slide, we can see the category of logistics, where practically we remain the same by than what we saw at the end of the year 2024. And the variations we see are because of the explanation we gave you early on, in which the analysis of the profitable area made an adjustment of 16,000 square meters. But variations do not have to do with terminations of contracts during the first quarter of the year. Within the aspects that we think are worth highlighting, we have the renovation of more than 10,000 square meters at Situ, which is set in the municipality of Siberia. And here the good news is that we renewed with Renault, where we not only retained the 10,000 square meters, but adjusted 13% the price of the rent. It's also important to mention that of the 10,200 square meters that we have vacant, we have 5,000 in the Quadrato Park and 5,000 at the Sitio Park, both in Siberia. And for them, we have six prospects for an area above 12,700 square meters. And we hope that in our next earnings call, we can give you very good news about these commercial developments. Now, to end, let's talk about hospitality and specialized. And we'd like to give you very good news. At the beginning, and no, at the graph, initially, you can see a variation that we had the occupation of the CTE residents, which reduced 4.5% compared to the same period in the year 2024. And as you can see, we found a dropping trend. And now we are working really hard with the operator to revert this trend. However, the figures of occupation remained within the levels that were initially estimated. It's also important to highlight that in our asset Boho, which is in the city of Cali, we had the highest occupation level, reaching 69%, with a variation of 15% compared to the same period in the year 2024. This is thanks to a better understanding of the operation of this asset, with which we expect that in the next semester, we can reach a better indicator. On the bottom graph, we see the performance of our hotel, Cala Blanca in Peru, where we have great results. We've reached the highest occupation level in rooms above 70%, with an improvement of 7% compared to the first quarter of 2024. Also, we find a growth of revenue above 18% compared to the same quarter of the year 2024, reaching a figure of total revenue above 18,000 square meters. So with this, we end the summary of the commercial management. And let's give the floor again to Daniel so he can tell us about the financial results of the portfolio. Thank you. Thank you so much, Andres, for the results that you just shared on the commercial matter. On slide 15, on the upper left-hand graph, you can see the growth of total revenue that Bay displayed during the first quarter of 2025. And when we compare them with the same period of 2024, we see that they grew 7.8%, reaching 205 billion pesos that Jairo mentioned early on. This result was mainly influenced by the growth of the rents above inflation, the closures of vacancies, specifically in the commercial category, as Andres mentioned, but also because of the revenue that we had from Cale Blanca, which Andres Esquivel just told us about. Also, it's important to mention that these revenue also include a payment for the anticipated termination of one of the contracts. And it's important to highlight here that many of our rent agreements are mandatory. And when a tenant decides to leave, there's a sum that has to be paid. And this is also helping to the very good performance of the revenue and, of course, has a direct impact, as we can see on the NOI on the upper right-hand side graph, where you can see that there's a growth of 8.2%, reaching 174 billion pesos, with a margin which, as Jairo mentioned early, is one of the highest that we've had in the vehicle after the pandemic at 84.8%. It's important to mention that this first quarter is, in terms of financial seasonability, the one that has the best performance because it includes those variable revenue generated in the commercial category in December. So this variable revenue from rentals are invoiced and received in January. So this is the best quarter of the vehicle. And with these levels of operation, and this has led us to reach these major results. When it comes to the EBITDA, which you can see on the graph, lower graph on the left, we have an increase of 7.9%, reaching 150 billion, and a very stable margin in terms of what we saw in 2024. When it comes to the cash flow paid and the dividend yield, we've included here a comparison of the sustained increase of the distribution that we've given to our investors in moments when we had a dividend yield in the past 12 months for the first quarter of 2024 close to 2.65%. With the distribution that we're making today, we reached a dividend yield in the market above 6.19%. So when we review this indicator in the last 12 months and we make it over a market price of 71,000 pesos, it's approximately what we see in the last matters. So this leads us to consolidate the result, the sustained increase that we have in the distribution, which, as Hyder said, in our strategic part, we will continue having during this year and next year and coming years. And the next slide, you can see the financial expense and the cost of the debt on the top left. Here, we can see the reduction also of the financial expense, especially when we compare it between the first quarter of 2024 and the first quarter of 2025, when we see a decrease of over 24 billion pesos. It's important to mention two things here. The expectations of inflation held when the budgets were made, and overall when we began the year, it was that inflation was below 4%, meaning that it would go within the range of the central bank. But today, when we see the results of this indicator in the Colombian economy, we see how the data of April grew up to 5.16%. That is the inflation, or the pace in which the goods and services in the Colombian economy grows, has had a performance less favorable than what analysts anticipated and the market in general at the beginning of the year. So our outlook, however, is still positive in terms of the yields that we will provide during these four quarters in 2025. We also see in this graph a slight growth of the financing costs for the first quarter of 2025, mainly because of the maturity of several loans that we had since the pandemic with very favorable rates and deferred from those that we have in the banks today. So this slight increase of the cost of financing is given because of this effect. Still, it's very important to underscore the drop in the financial expenditure, which effectively the vehicle disburses to the banks because of the loans that we have with them. So here we can see on the upper right-hand side graph, the portfolio and the indexation of the debt that we have with banks and with the market through the bonds. We ended the first quarter of 2025 with a portfolio of indebtedness at 13.2% in fixed rate, 51.7% IPC, and 35.2% in IBRs. In the composition of the debt portfolio, where we can see the change of those loans that we had since the pandemic tied to the IPC and innovated in the month of February. On this same graph, we can see that the debt has remained very stable in the past five quarters, and that we've not only used the debt to repair the maintenance and several working capital, but we haven't had an increase of the debt. And when we see this, comparing the proportion that we have against the assets on the very bottom left-hand side graph, we see how the percentage of the debt follows its decrease trend, and in this quarter reached 33%. In terms of the composition of the debt portfolio by terms, 85.1% of the portfolio is long-term. That is, it matures in over a year, while 14.9% matures in the year 2025. So this changes while there are innovations made of the credits or loans during the period that we're analyzing. As Haido mentioned in his talk, in the strategic part, we see the indicator of the coverage of interest that we include and that investors approved to include within the prospect as a measure to take a new debt for new investments. And it's reached 1.81%. It's a level that we deem that is healthy, and we're convinced that it will continue advancing as the quarters pass by above levels of 2.5 times. It's also important to mention in this point, the portfolio of debt has an operation that we told you about. I think that for the over 20 the past 24 months, and we made the decision, and we've told this very important, which is the IFC, to stop and to really give them the due thanks. But we have made the decision to not continue with the credit structure. we have been telling you in different times in the earnings calls at the assembly that we held over a month ago, that when we began to have talks with the IFC in October of 2022, the conditions in the financial markets were different, and the flexibility of the debt portfolio of Pay, which has allowed us to capture the drops in the interest rates and to relieve the financial expense very quickly, is a guide for us. So we would like to thank deeply the team of IFC and everybody that has helped us in this structuring, but we must say right now that we will not continue with this operation. Now, the local banking system, the Colombian banking system, in several cases has doubled our debt levels, and they recognize the strength and resilience of the vehicle on a long-term basis, and that helps us continue with our financing operations. On slide 18, we see the performance of the capital markets. On the top left graph, you can see how since July of 2024, we've been very stable in what is known technically as a channel, between 68,000 and 75,000 pesos per share, which has been the negotiation lately of the share in the secondary market. In terms of the daily average of the volume transacted, we have very healthy metrics still, which today allows us to have to be in three index, as Heido mentioned. Remember, we are in the MSCI All-Col Cap, MSCI All-Colombia Select, and the stock exchange told us in February that within this index that we're building with MSCI in the market integrating Peru, Colombia, and Chile, we are part of this index with a share close to 0.51%. It's important to highlight that we are the only real estate investment vehicle in Colombia that's part of these index, the first one that's part of a regional index, and that we are within our sector, we are with companies that are very important that have similar businesses from Chile. In terms of the liquidity ranking, which is what you can see on the bottom left, we still have a share that's relevant in terms of volume. And it's important to highlight that in 2024 and in the first quarter of 2025, the negotiations of PAYF represented about 2% of the total volume deal negotiated with on the MSCI. So we're still consolidating the position that PAY has in the capitals market. And this way, we can find how we're not only the most relevant sample for the industry, where we have about 95% of the volume transacted of all the real estate investment vehicles in Colombia, but we are relevant compared to other samples in variable revenue. We would like to end this part talking about the performance of capital markets, specifically talking about the issuance of certificates, which, as we have been mentioning in the last four earnings calls, we are really ahead, and Heido mentioned it as something strategic. So Heide, let's together talk about this slide and tell investors that what we are structuring and that we have completed the documentation to eradicate, to present everything before the financial superintendents. As we've told you, the goal is to issue 300 to 500 billion pesos at a price that we, market price that we will establish, based on the market dynamics. This will allow us to pay part of the debt that we have in the portfolio. And here I'd like to stop a moment because it's important to remind the investors market that in a scenario of higher rates for a longer time, it's even better to have, or it makes more sense to issue the certificates because the efficiencies we have capturing in terms of financial expenses have had a very favorable performance. But we're convinced that we must make things happen. And in that sense, it's very important to make this issue to decrease the level of debt. We recognize that the cost of capital in the world has changed. And today, with the levels of interest rates that we saw before the pandemic, probably not, we won't see them again, or perhaps after the next crisis that we don't know when will happen. And so it's very important to keep this in mind. Heidi, would you like to add something here? Sure, Danielle. I'd like to highlight two points that are very relevant before we talk about the figure and the issuance. Let's remember that the participative certificates of PI are fungible. And this has an important significance because investors participate in the entire portfolio. So although each issue has some assets, the share of investors reflected throughout the entire portfolio. So that's the first thing. Second, let's remember that the investors of PAY are entitled, have a preference entitlement or preference right to buy the certificates on the first round. And this is very important, but for those that have been with us and those that are just beginning with us, maybe it's the first time that you have an issuance. So PAY, when it does an issuance, it makes everything in two rounds. One, where we offer the certificates to current investors, depending on their share in the vehicle. This guarantees there's no dilution from the investors. Today's investor can always exercise their right and maintain their participation. And only in the second round, the proportion of certificates that are not acquired by current investors may be bought by new investors. These two topics are relevant. Danielle talked about 300 and 500 billion. This is harmonized with the market price. Surely it will be an average of a number of days in anticipation to the issuance date, the destination of resources to pay debt. Danielle already said that the capital cost globally, and especially in Colombia, is higher. And that's why moving our loan-to-value to levels of 33% to 27% makes sense. And although there will be more shares, outstanding shares, the savings in the financial expense will allow to have a distributable cash flow that won't fall. So that's one of the attributes that we have to structure this mission. We expect to present this to the financial superintendency next week and to do all the proceedings pending from them, their feedback, and to do the roadshow to end the transaction. We hope by the end of June. Again, the purpose is to apply the resources to the debt, which today is at 3.3 trillion that Danielle already talked about, with a setting to place 500,000. We'll place that at 2.8, and that's where we see that the loan will value would be at 28%. Thank you so much, Heido. And to end this part of the issuance of certificates, I think it's important to address something that's significant, and it's what we see on the bottom part of the slide. So to make the issuance of certificates at a discount, which is what the certificates have today, close to 53% versus their equity value in the market, does not imply that we consider that the assets of the portfolio have that value. What does this mean? We have been mentioning this in the last earnings calls. When we observe these disinvestments made even above the value books, it validates that the assets of the real estate portfolio have a value that the real estate market has approved. There, of course, there is a disconnection between the market price and the equity value of the certificates. But again, it's not, this does not mean that we consider that the assets are worth less. So it's a big message that we want to highlight for you. To end this part of the results, and now then let's begin our Q&A session. Questions that our investors sent. Thank you. As of now, we will begin the Q&A session. Please write your comments through the box of questions available on the platform. Okay, so let's begin our Q&A session. And let's begin with the question made by Gustavo Godoy. He asks, what's the number of international investors that you have? Haida, could you answer this? Thank you, Danielle. Thank you. Good morning, Gustavo. Today, the institutional investors of Pay have an equity share of 6.5%. We have right now outstanding 42 million shares. That is, that international investors, there are about 2.7 million shares. That's the value. The most important investor is BlackRock, which began last year because of the inclusion of Pay in the MSCI index. Thank you, Haido. And following with the line of this question, Mr. Hernando Rivas asks, international investors have a share in Pay because because Pay is in the index and not because they buy from Pay directly. Thank you so much for this question because it allows us to clarify that today 6.5% of the outstanding shares that are in the hands of international investors, as Haida mentioned, they also buy directly. Of course, the major one is BlackRock. It also has the Global X Index, but also we have international investors that invest directly. So it's not only because we have because we're not the MSCI, and there's a lot of trust that they have in the vehicle. Next question is from Mr. Jose Herrera, and he asks, do you expect more disinvestments in 2025? Haida? Jose, good morning. Indeed, as I said in the introduction today, we're advancing in a process with an international partner where we're advancing to make a partial disinvestment of a relevant commercial asset. We've always insisted that disinvestments are natural in a vehicle of real estate investments because it closes the real estate cycle and allows us to capitalize the profit created in time. These disinvestments has always been addressed to create value for investors. And the creation of value not only has to do with economic parts, but also strategic parts. So we've been advancing at a good pace, and we expect in the next calls to tell you about developments or if we close this. So yes, we keep on working. We don't have the need of making this investment, fortunately. Just like the acquisitions, we see them as opportunities, not only to create profitability, but also to serve fundamentals of investments. Many times a disinvestment can obey to want to lower the exposure of a category or in a geographic location. That's what we're doing. And as I said, we expect that throughout this year, we can materialize a couple of disinvestments. Thank you, Haido. We're asked by Mr. David Villegas, what's the CapEx that you have for the building Torre Calle 90 and the expansion of ADA and the interventions and the assets in general? So let's leave this last part of the interventions and better talk about what we'll do during 2025. Is that okay for you? Sure, Danielle. Yes, total investment in the CapEx in Torre Calle 90 for the corporate offices of Seguros del Estado was close to 85 billion to 90 billion pesos. And We have to manifest here that obviously Pei is the owner of the land, and it does not include purchasing the land, but the capex necessary to demolish the current building and build one new with excellent specifications. Second, we have to highlight is that this investment is related to a rental agreement on a long-term basis that we signed with Seguros del Estado. So it's not an operation in which Pei is looking for a tenant, because we already have Seguros del Estado. We have it's an excellent tenant. We generate new spaces from an area that before was less than 5,000, and now we have one that's close to 8,000 square meters with an investment in CapEx that allows us to have the prospect for compliance of ICR to take it throughout the year. It's an investment that should be developed throughout the second half of 2025, in 26, and in the first half of 27. When it comes to ALA, as we said, it's an industrial logistical asset set in La Cayena in Barranquilla. In total today, they have developed or executing 9 phases. The phases that are underway imply for Pei a CapEx for the next 18 months of about 60 billion pesos. The model that we have managed to build with them has been very assertive, and they've been growing as they've had contracts that support revenues for them. Obviously, we're very rigorous to analyze the credit risk, looking at the diversification of their clients. And obviously, the developments, we have a controller that guarantees that the work is built according to the specifications that are agreed from at the beginning, since the beginning. Thank you, Jairo. We're asked by Maria Rivera, in what logistic asset did you review the GLA of the almost 16,000 square meters that you mentioned at the beginning? Andres, could you give us a hand with this? Thank you so much, Maria Rivera, for your question. Firstly, it's important to mention that those 16,000 square meters within the category of logistic assets represents close to 3% of the GLA, total GLA. So keeping this in mind, let me explain that we don't have it only in one asset, but instead, in this opportunity, you see the adjustment basically in 3 assets. So Plaza Lumia in the municipality of Siberia, and lastly, in Zona Franca del Pacifico. It's important to mention here that because of the features of these assets, there are several zones or several specifications. The warehouses or logistics parks have common areas, storage areas, production, cargo docks, and obviously there are several assets that have offices and administrative areas. In this review, as we mentioned, and the analysis we made, we found that there were common areas that were pacted in prior contracts or negotiations in which there was no charge. And precisely that close revision allowed us to find that we could maximize the GLA of several of these areas in the area that we're mentioning, which correspond in this case to 16,000 square meters and represents close to 3% of the total GLA of the logistics category. Thank you, Andres. Mr. Felipe Salazar asks, what perspectives do you have to be part of the HCOL cell? Felipe, thanks for your question. It's something that we've been talking about in the market for several semesters. The HCOL cell, which is the index that calculates Standard & Poor's of the Colombian market, has had development in the years. And although the fact that we, as a variable revenue species, met all of the liquidity volume frequency metrics, there was a topic more of regulatory interpretation from the index builder that impeded for us to be part of this index. Still, What Standard & Poor's has told the public is that in December, several modifications of its calculation methodologies were made, and this now enables us to be part, therefore, of this index. So we had the rebalancing made in February, and we were not included there because of the increased volumes of other species that were significantly made in the first quarter. So we were left in a scale below what we needed to be part of this index. But we're still expecting Felipe to be part of the other index. It would be the fourth that we would be part of. And it perfectly aligns with our strategy to internationalize the base of having several different buyers. Mr. Sebastian Palacios sends us a comment. Just as you reconsider the credit with IFC, you should also reconsider the issuance of new certificates. Doing that right now under these conditions in the market will detriment current investors. And with this comment of Sebastian, Jairo, could you give us a hand to serve this question? Sebastian, thank you for your comment and for creating this discussion. We considered after a rigorous analysis that the benefits of an issue are clear. First, since we have said, it allows us to take the role of a recurrent issuer that has a major effect on the trust of investors. Second, the application of resources to the debt will allow us to loan to value from 33 to 28%, decreasing the financial cost in a moment in which, although the rates have dropped, they haven't reached the levels that we had 2 or 3 years ago. Remember that the cost of the debt of the portfolio in the second half of 2022 was even below 7%. And in 2023, it increased to 14.5, so it over doubled. And today we're close to 10. As we mentioned in the models that we've made, the issuance of new certificates, which obviously generates 42 million certificates to 48 million, does not mean a decrease of the cash flow because the financial savings, meaning the savings of the financial costs, allows us not to have this, but instead to maintain in several years, even to increase. In the first years, we still had levels of high interest rates, and this was seen by investors. So this is very important for us. Another positive consequence, Sebastian, is the view that the audiences or stakeholders will have, like banks or the rating firms. We have been improving the ratios and indicators, and this is normal in this market, the coverage over debt. And this will allow us to have a reading of less risk of the vehicle. That should also mean a lower financial risk. So there are many reasons why we even think that the sum of all of these are positive effects, and that the secondary market should allow a reaction of the value of the certificate. So there are several reasons, Daniel. I don't know if you would like to compliment. Jairo, I think that what you've said and what we told our investors in the last part of the results, I think we answered with that the comment of Mr. Palacio. So let's continue with the question of Mr. Sebastian Gallego. And he asks, can we see a loan-to-value or a proportion of the debt over assets less of 28% if the issue is completed, keeping in mind potential disinvestments? And my second question, once completing the issuance, is there a better coverage of interest? Do you expect to increase the assets or only to prepay the debt? Good morning, Sebastian. What an interesting question. There are multiple alternatives that we have with resources from that disinvestment. We said that with the issue, we would use that to prepay the debt. But when it comes to a relevant disinvestment, we have enabled the possibility to use those resources to a new prepayment of the debt. And surely this will be debated by our advisory committee, which is the body that takes these types of decisions that are so crucial in the vehicle. But also, we've considered the chance of making a delivery of special yields to our investors this year. This year, we have budgeted a delivery of yields, distributable yields, close to $230 billion. I just mentioned that precisely today, we are giving out 55 billion pesos, a sum that should be increased for the next two quarters to 60 billion, allowing us to reach the 230. Keeping in mind the issue of certificates for 50 billion to lower the loan to value from 33 to 28. And if we make the disinvestments, we have the chance to prepay the debt again. And in a hypothetical case, we'll talk about 30 to 40 billion pesos in addition that would place it at 23%, and to have resources to create a distributable yield, the special one. So that would be very, very positive, because we would go from a year like 2024 with distributable yields where 135 billion to a year in which we will practically double them as a result of the 2 billion distributable yields, with the chance to increase them because of the disinvestment. Thank you, Haido. Jesus Posada asks, what's the intrinsic value or the value of books of the certificate? Mr. Posada, yesterday, the intrinsic value of pay is of 152,660 pesos. We are asked also by Diego Granados, what are you doing to increase the volume and the price of the certificate or share? Diego, thanks for your question. And it's important here to highlight what we've been doing for the past 4 years, not recently alone. We set out a strategy in which we sought to expand our investors' base, to diversify it, to re-internationalize the vehicle, and to allow through these actions to give more visibility to the vehicle. With the migration of the variable revenue, making the split of 1 to 100, remember we had more value, we divided it. And all of these actions have allowed us to have today the negotiation volumes, the visibility, and the internationalization that we've had in the vehicle. So that doesn't mean, of course, that we're not doing more things ahead. But in the capital market, with the issue and with all the timely information is given that we have given to the market, these are the attributes that we find and the most proper to keep expanding the investor space and internationalizing it. We're asked by Mr. Jose Herrera, could you expect that this year the vacancy of offices or the category corporate will be closer to the vacancy of the market, and that in the category of shopping centers, you'll only have assets of unique property or commercial facilities within horizontal properties? Andres, could you help us with this question, and Mr. Herrera? Sure. Thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Mr. Herrera, for your questions. Firstly, regarding the vacancy of the corporate category, we must remember that despite the fact that the quarter ended at 13.11% of vacancy, and that we've been working very proactively and not reactively with the termination of several contracts, and that because of the date, we couldn't show you the current percentage, that number ends currently at 12%. That means 100 basic points compared to what we showed you in the graph. While the market vacancy is at 8%, that is, today there's a delta of 4% compared to the indicator of the trend that has been shown by the market. So what can we say here? Today, We have 34 prospects that represent an area of 64,000 square meters, which is 1.6 times the vacancy that we have today. Of these 64,000 square meters, we'd like to tell you that there's about 13,000 which are in the final phases of negotiation, and that we expect that next quarter we can give you the good news, in which a large percentage is focused in the Atrio building, which has very particular characteristics. And this would lead us to close our vacancy indicator in figures close to 9%, which already places us in a range that we have estimated, and which is very healthy for the category, between 8 and 10% of vacancy. So in that sense, we expect that for the next call, we can give you very good news on this matter. Moving to your next question, in the category of shopping centers, there are two large blocks. And first, we have shopping centers, where we have shares in 100% in assets like Plaza Central. But we also have a share within horizontal properties, which shares above 70%. So this allows us to have the control of the commercial mix and to manage very well the corporate governance within these assets. But we also have commercial facilities, especially the portfolio of the Vivienda, which, you know, the banks have a very good eye for locations that are very, very strategic, where we also have commercial facilities on the street and individual facilities on horizontal properties of shopping centers that are very relevant nationwide. So we can say that we have a setting or a mix of both assets, which are 100% owned by Pay, and properties, horizontal properties, but we can assure to have majority shares to control the commercial mix and manage very well the corporate governance. Thank you, Andres. We have a last question from Mr. Nicolas Gomez. Do you have a considerable financial obligation soon that will mature soon to argument the issuance of securities? Nicolas, thank you for this question. So we can explain how we manage the portfolio of debt here at Pay. We, as we told you in the part of the debt management, we have a portfolio of debt that hasn't grown in the past years, and focuses most of its maturities, more than 85%, on a long-term basis. We are not structuring the issue because we have a leak or a specific need to serve a short-term debt. No, we see it as a long-term structural decision, like the ones that we have been sharing with you in the past 18 years, in which we consider that issuing the issues bring important benefits on a medium long-term basis for all investors. So it's important to mention this, Nicolas, and also that during this year, we have received the good news from several banks which have doubled the limits and made increases of more than 100 and 200 billion pesos and have allowed us to manage the portfolio of debt in a manner that is responsible and thinking on a long-term basis. Sure, and I would add, Nicolas, that it's important to say that the portfolio of the debt that we have currently has a huge advantage for the vehicle and its investors, and it's the flexibility. We have built a portfolio that has no penalties for prepayment that allows us, according to the reading we make of different indicators, to migrate to a rate expressed in IPC of IDR or the other way around. We have an average duration close to 6 years when you look at the average duration of the debt, and we sought to make it similar to the maturity of our rental agreements. So that way we have a a duration of contracts with a average duration of the debt. And we have the capability, I insist, to prepay when we have special resources without any penalties. So the issue to pay the debt does not have to do with maturity, but it's more because we're convinced and studying, well, where we can have the optimal, the sustainable level of debt. When we used the financial long-term models 3 years ago, we saw that the optimal or sustainable debt level was at 30 to 35. But since the cost of the debt increased, now we think that that sustainable debt level should be between 25 and 30%. That's why it has nothing to do with the maturity and that we cannot cover, but it's more structural and strategic. Yes, as we said, there are decisions on a long-term basis that allow us to have this vehicle as a leader in the real estate investments for the past 18 years. And as a sample of that, also, it's important to remind the investors that part of the strategies of liquidity and expansion of the investors' base, Bay was the first real estate investment vehicle that made a reacquisition or repurchased shares in the secondary market. This was made in the year 2023 and is a program that remains active, and we will be disclosing it when we consider it pertinent. So I think that with this, we end our Q&A session. We expect we answered the most questions that you sent and to give you the good results as investors and to the market in general. So with this, we'd like to thank you for joining us. And we hope to be with you in August when we will report the results of the second quarter of 2025. Thank you all. Thank you for joining the conference of results of the first quarter of 2025 of Payne.